pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning, primary election eve here in Alabama. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. Coming up in about 30 minutes, Sam Roberts. He's been doing some polling, kind of freelance polling on his own, and he's been reliably accurate in the past. We'll see how he goes this time, but he still makes a very compelling case about the direction of these races. We'll have him on at the bottom of the hour. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll get Dale Jackson from WVNN, our Monday regular. Joining us now, we got him on for just a few minutes here. Formerly the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, but now the Trump-endorsed candidate, in fact, for lieutenant governor. John Wall joins us on the line. John, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to be on the show.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. Well, just give you on for a few minutes here. The how's the campaign going?
I mean, look, you know, that's the million-dollar question, right? We're going to find out tomorrow. But look, it's going great. I love to be out on the campaign trail and talking to the people about the values that made Alabama great, you know, that we believe in as a culture, right? That America was founded on the American dream, freedom, liberty, returning limited government, lower taxes, lower regulations, and getting back to the basics in our education. There's so many things we could do better here in Alabama. We need bold conservative leadership, and that's why I'm running. I really believe we can get Alabama back. We can get America back to the vision of our founding fathers.
And one more question. I'll just give you the floor here. But you got kind of a late start. Do you think that hampered your campaign a little bit?
I won't say hamper, but it's hard to fit a year's worth of campaigning into 3 months. every campaign has its own challenges. And, I joke about that. I was like, I wish if Donald Trump wanted me to run, I wish he would have, made that tweet a couple months earlier. So I had more time. But at the end of the day, time is not the most important thing. The most important thing are the values you believe in. And it's talking to the voters about those values. This race is a very clear race. And most likely it's going to runoff. There's seven candidates running. But this is coming down to what kind of government do you want? Because this race is not about me. It's not about any of my opponents. This race is about the people of Alabama. And I'm the conservative outsider in this race. The Montgomery establishment is pouring money behind my opponents out of state gain interest. Because they know that I'm the conservative choice. And they know that I'm going to fight for the people of the state. We're going to drain the swamp. And that's a challenge to the power structure in Montgomery. And so I proudly take that title on. I'm the conservative outsider. We're gaining ground. We're every day we get more support as people find out about me and about this campaign. And that's we're going to just keep going through tomorrow, hopefully, into the runoff and keep the momentum going as we fight for the freedoms and the people of the state.
Well, just take a few minutes here. I assume there's probably still some undecideds or people who may not even be, planning to vote or go out to vote tomorrow, but make a case for them to get out to vote and make a case for them to vote for you.
Yeah, look, for sure. Just talked a little bit about it. I love America, and I love the vision that our founding fathers set up, this idea of freedom and liberty. And I think the people of this state, voters of this state, are tired of weak-kneed politicians who fold, whether it's Washington, D.C., whether it's Montgomery. And they want bold leadership that's going to fight for them. And if you look at my track record as state party chairman, you're going to see that bold perspective. I fought for school choice. I fought for parental rights in education, for getting the woke garbage, out of our education system. Lower taxes, a $223 million tax cut plan, cutting the grocery tax. As lieutenant governor, I want to start phasing out the state income tax. And these things that would give real relief to hardworking families around Alabama that are struggling to make ends meet. You talk about education. You see my proven track record on the state library board where no one else was willing to stand up and fight for parents who were bringing in sexually explicit content that their children were being exposed to. and taking the bullets on that and fighting for the appearance of Alabama and saying, no, our children are worth protecting. And we're not going to allow the radical left to just come in here and undermine our values and undermine our children. This is a battle. And the left, the socialists on the left are playing for keeps. They want to take this country and they want to redefine it. And I am running because I believe in fighting that agenda, whether it's in our education system, whether it's our tax system, wherever it is. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to surrender, and I'm going to fight to make Alabama the most conservative state in the country, and be the bold, be that bold conservative who stands for the people of the state.
John, folks want to find out more about your campaign. Where can they look?
Well, look, I would love to stay in communication on all major social media. John Walford, Lieutenant Governor, and then our website. Which is kind of my campaign slogan too, John Wall for Alabama, because that's what we're going to do. If I get elected Lieutenant Governor, my pledge is to fight for the people of the state and fight for the values we believe in.
John Wall, ladies and gentlemen. John, good luck tomorrow.
Thanks, sir. Good to be on the show.
All right. The election tomorrow, if you haven't heard. 251-343-0106 to get in touch with the program. Hit me up on that text line. We're going to get some texts right now real quick. Backstrap, I'm ready for Paul Pryne to get waxed again. I wouldn't vote for him if he ran as a sanitary director. If I'm just kind of grading it right now, we'll see how he does tomorrow. But he's not a bad candidate, at least during the mayoral campaign. I don't know how tomorrow's going to go, and I don't know. If you look at the two campaigns and put them side by side, his bid for mayor and his bid for sheriff, how you would evaluate those. I mean, I just haven't watched the sheriff's campaign as much as I watched the mayoral one, but I thought he was a really decent, he's very a good spokesman. And I thought he had a political future ahead of him. He's somebody I would have, I thought he would have made a superb congressional candidate in the had AL2 stayed AL2 with Shamari Figures. I wasn't sure. I mean, his expertise obviously is law enforcement, so running for sheriff. I understand that. But my interactions with him, which I've had him on a couple of times, he actually came and sat in the studio with me. He's one of these guys, he kind of gets it. He knows how to speak to a big group of people. I see it. I see the phenomenon there. But it's hard for me to assess this go around. You also got to remember, guys, in that mayoral race, he finishes ahead of Connie Hudson, who had a pretty decent campaign infrastructure. No, I mean, it was going to be tough with Barbara Drummond and Spiro Giragatis, who had the mobile, and movers and shakers behind him. But he had a good effort as sort of an insurgent candidate in that mayoral race. I'm eager to see how tomorrow is going to go for him. I don't know about getting waxed, but I still think there's upside there. I told him the day after, hey, you need to keep at it, man, because there may be something for you in the future. Tim, Jeff, when the vote is over, I won't have to listen to any more Harwell ads. Well, until he decides he wants to run for something else. What's up with these people that keep running in these elections for different types of offices? You never know. With Harwell, I mean, he kind of built on this previous run. He's getting his name ID up. It's an open seat. It's, Jack Williams. Not the most outspoken. I don't know how he was viewed inside of his Senate district. Not a guy who gave a lot of, who spent a lot of time at the lectern in the Senate chamber. He did wear a cowboy hat. But beyond that, why not take a shot at it? So Rusty Glover is going to be tough to beat. He's done well there in the past. And they did what they thought they had to do to run and win. That's all you could ask for. Mark, Jeff, I believe the explosive device found in the lake was just somebody's alternative fishing bit that didn't explode. They most likely got sucked up in the dam. Don't believe there were any ill intent at all. Just my take on it. I kind of wondered the same thing. Someone out there, I don't know, saw too many cartoons or something. If this was just a relic of the past. It's interesting because we haven't heard much about this. I saw this story drop. I think it was WKRG initially. And it made it as, you know, you hear IED found in Big Creek Lake. Of course, it took a day to some national personalities picked up on it. Some conservative influencers, if you will. Like, well, wow, this is a big deal. Unnamed texter. What gonna do? Break out the fire hoses and dogs again. Blank's going to get deep. Voice of text. I don't even think that's voice of text. I think you shouldn't be day drinking, texter. Jason. Jeff, good job always presenting the candidates for us, and I look forward to voting for Paul Pry tomorrow and cleaning up the sheriff's department. Damn Yankee, given the fact oil is traded as a global commodity, how is it that the president's held responsible for gas prices? It doesn't make sense. He's held responsible, and you know, you can blame Iran, but he provoked Iran into disrupting the shipping traffic through the Strait of Hormuz, where a lot of oil, globally traded oil, moves. He disrupted the supply line. This was the consequence. Now, you know, ending their nuclear ambitions, doing what you had to do, all put all that aside. But this was a consequence, and there were going to be impacts on oil markets, which in turn is an impact on your gas prices. Oil is traded as a global commodity, but the disruption of the oil market is a product of Iran versus the United States. So you ask people, go and ask your average person in Topeka, Kansas, what's more important to you, low gas prices or ending the perceived threat of Iran's nuclear ambitions? And a lot of people, I imagine there's a lot of mixed feelings on that, but I think most people are going to say, I don't care. Lower gas prices. Let them figure that out. That's completely on the other side of the globe from us. Not right, not wrong. But I am telling you, that's how people think in this country. They vote their pocketbook. They're not watching Bloomberg. They're not watching any of these financial, you know, some are, but typically they're not. They are going to the gas pump, dropping $150 to fill up their tank, and grumbling about it. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show. What if it talk? 1065.
I've done it many times. Somebody take me home. Living on the road, my friend.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning, election eve, primary election eve, I should say. How you feeling? You gotta get. How many of you are actually going to vote? that it's penciled in on your schedule. You're going to take time out of your busy day to do it. I'm honestly eager to hear this. Because I think a lot of you aren't. I know. I mean, I'm in this business. I was going to get around to it. I just ran out of time or, you know, something came up. So my mom and dad are. And I didn't really be keeping up with this. This is talking about this with Representative Stringer. They always are running polls, are always trying to figure out what people care about. What messaging is appropriate, what isn't appropriate, what people and what they find when you present these questions. That you're mostly concerned about Washington. Well, you know, only Washington, D.C. office is the United States Senate. Which is interesting because, you know, a lot of people say, well, it's just not a gubernatorial election on the ballot. And that's dragging down turnout. I don't know. Now, there's a lot of money that goes into the gubernatorial elections that are competitive. We haven't had one in Alabama since 2010. You believe that? We won't have potentially have a competitive gubernatorial election for 20 years. It's just too long. Text line, get to these real quick before we get to the break here. Hey, Jeff, when it comes to Mars, it sounds like an out-of-control agency. Is there any way we could clean house completely? Talk about IRS? I don't know, Mars. Give me another shot at that, Chris. Unnamed texter I have, and we'll continue to support Paul Price because he supports the people. He gets malls. Oh, that might be what you were referring to, Chris. And if that's a Big Creek Lake, it can't be bought. And Rusty Glover as well. Unnamed texter. My God, I am sick of these ads. Well, it all comes to an end Wednesday, and then we'll get into some other election stuff. Mike, I agree with Stringer saying the garbage tackle coach Glover by Team Harwell will end up backfiring. Too many people know Coach Glover. Many people know how slimy old Harwell really is, and yes, I will be voting. I don't really have that strong of an opinion on Doug Harwell. It was hard to get these guys on the show. I don't know. I do think Rusty Glover is going to be tough to beat in that Senate district. Based on past precedent, based on past circumstances, he's a good dude. People feel comfortable with him. He's made a couple of ill-advised runs at statewide office. I thought he would have, had he had the money, He's pretty decent on the stump, but you got to, and he's based on his Senate tenure, probably had a hard time. I mean, he had to take a lot of votes against a lot of bad people who lined up against him. I will definitely be voting, especially for Glover and Prine. Surprise by surprise, some people tomorrow. He did. I'm telling you. Retired, definitely still not 100% decided on the candidates. Definitely voted. What is 24 hours out? What are you? Is it a matter of just taking the time to really think about it or evaluate? Well, what is an honest question, unnamed texter, if you're still listening? What is it you're thinking about? One more here. I work at the post office of Mobile County, and after all the mailers we delivered, every one of us can't wait to vote tomorrow. Love your show. Listen every day. Mail lady. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I've nothing to do. It's good to see you. I must go. I know I look a fright. Anyway, my eyes and my...
A ranking rebel flag flies high. out and burn, and they probably always will. And on the old
welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FN Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. Still got a bunch of texts to get to, but just kind of filling the voter out here. Let me know how you feel about the primary tomorrow, if you're voting, if you haven't made up your mind, and what it is that that will win you over in some of these down ballot races in particular. But even at the top of the ballot, Senate, Lieutenant Governor, AG, eager to hear that. Joining us now on the line, we kind of made him our election prognosticator here on the program, at least for this cycle. But from the Coleman Daily up North Alabama-ish, Sam Roberts is with us. Sam, how are you?
I'm doing good, Jeff. How are you doing?
Doing well, doing well. So you've been running kind of nonstop polling on these things. Anything breaking? Do you detect any, like, you know, we talked about a week ago about some of these races, and just, you know, I still think that there's a big number out there of undecideds, which we don't break, or if they do, you know, these are guys who may not even vote tomorrow.
Yes, you're right. I mean, I think the most of the movement in the polling in these races that I have seen was a couple weeks back. Now that we've got here, election day's tomorrow. Over the past week, it's TV and radio and text message. Everything's become so saturated with ads. I believe it's turned into it's a little bit harder to change people's minds right now because everybody is just so overloaded with political advertising happening right now. Leading into this election cycle, I think that the time for candidates that were polling a little bit behind in the polls that needed to make a change, that was a couple weeks ago. Right now, I think voters pretty much have their minds made up for tomorrow. We do see a lot of undecideds, but like you said, I think a lot of those people, there's nothing you can do to turn them into a decided. And a lot of those, like I said, also, I mean, they're just going to skip some of these races or may not even vote tomorrow.
Well, and tell me this, why do we do it this way every cycle that really today and tomorrow will be just flooded, saturated, but like this is always the game. No one does, all right, I'm going to cut it, you know, a week out or something. They always, you know, people who haven't been running ads or doing anything wait till that last minute. And like you said, I don't think you get much bang for your buck out of that.
No, I agree. I think I think once it turns into this, I mean, I think more than anything, the ads you're running are just holding on to the base of support you're already built. But you're not winning over a lot of people from the other candidates. I mean, you see a little bit of movement, but nothing like, you know, just a few weeks ago, we saw Katherine Robertson just skyrocket in the polls nearly to mid-40s to 50%. You're not seeing any candidates do that right now. No movement like that is happening in current polling.
Well, there's one factor that changed, and it was Governor Ivey's proclamation for the special election. I think the Barrymore guys were hoping for that to be on the ballot because that would boost turnout. You have these CD1 candidates going toe-to-toe, and they're spending money, and they're driving up turnout, and it's in his neck of the woods where, you know, he could run up some of the score there. And what do you think of that? Does that matter? Is Congressman Moore going to take a little bit of a hit there?
He'll probably take a little bit of a hit from it. I don't think it's going to be anything nearly enough to knock him out of first place. But I think if I was Congressman Moore, my biggest worry would be, is Jared Hudson going to be in second place tomorrow night? Because if he is, we're going to have a very contested runoff. If I was Congressman Moore, I would be praying for a runoff with Steve Marshall.
Well, let me throw out this hypothetical. Jared Hudson doesn't make the runoff. He qualifies, runs against Gary Palmer in AL6. He could probably win that, couldn't he?
Yes, Jared Hudson is going to be a player in Alabama politics if he wishes to be, even if he loses this election. He has undeniable support, a huge grassroots movement happening right now on the ground all throughout the state of Alabama. And yes, I've actually talked to a few others about that recently. If Jared Hudson loses this race, and to be honest, I'm not sure he's going to lose it, but if he does lose this race and he wants to turn around and run for a congressional seat, he will definitely be a lot to handle.
If Barry Moore doesn't get the Trump endorsement, he's going to get a plurality tomorrow, doesn't he?
You know, I think the in my opinion, I think that Barry Moore is relying a little too heavily on the Trump endorsement. I think it was a great thing for him as far as raising money. It was a great thing to build credibility. But I mean, literally every day when I get home, I've got a couple Barry Moore mailers. Every single day when I'm watching television, I see Barry Moore commercial after commercial. And the only thing I could tell you is that President Trump endorsed him. I think that's the way most voters across Alabama are feeling about that right now, leading in this election happening tomorrow.
Yeah, but if Trump doesn't endorse Barry Moore, I mean, Hudson's got a lead, I would think.
I agree.
Yeah, because then it's just if it's just head-to-head-to-head, then he's run the best campaign, arguably, hands down.
I agree with that. I mean, Barry Moore is very strong in South Alabama, and the Trump endorsement, it was good for him to, you know, it got him a solid 30-something percent early on in polling. He had a commanding lead that the Trump endorsement got him, but the problem is that that's just not winning over the other voters that he needs to get to, which nobody's getting to 50 tomorrow, but in the runoff, I don't think it's going to be enough to get him to 50%.
Well, what about this now? The Trump endorsed guys, when Trump comes in, and the two examples I'll offer, Indiana and the state Senate races there, and then Louisiana this weekend with Cassidy going down in just a shocking fashion. That Trump endorsement, maybe it's just a circumstance of where it's at and the time and the way he's gone about it, but it does seem to be having some success nationally.
It does have some success. I think the more successful sign of it, though, is when it's going against a person who has been anti-Trump, in Washington, D.C. I think that, in this Senate race here, you don't have Trump against, he's not anti-Jared Hudson. He's not anti-Steve Marshall. He just came out as pro Barry Moore. Jared Hudson and Steve Marshall both have undeniably been pro Trump candidates. So I just don't think it's swaying voters the way that Congressman Moore's campaign was really hoping that it would. It definitely got him a lead. It's definitely got him still in the lead. But I just don't think that in this runoff, if he's against Jared Hudson, I don't think it's going to be enough.
The Marshall campaign, it could have been better, I think. It seemed to be an infrastructure that was kind of out of state-ish. That could have been a lot better than what it has been.
Yes, I'm not very impressed with the Steve Marshall campaign. He's done a great job as attorney general. He's got a great record. But just I'm like you. I think he may be listening to some out-of-state consultants or something a little bit too much, because his message has just not resonated with the voters of Alabama. Now, it is very possible that Steve Marshall comes in second tomorrow. That could definitely happen, because he's going to be very strong in North Alabama, specifically around Marshall County. The Huntsville TV market seems to be his strongest area. But if he's in the runoff, I just do not see any scenario to where he can beat Congressman Barry Moore. However, I think that if Jared Hudson edges him out, gets the second place tomorrow, my prediction is that Jared Hudson will take down Congressman Barry Moore in the runoff. But I just don't see the same momentum with Marshall.
Let's talk about some other races down ballot. Lieutenant Governor, we just had John Wall on, but I think the problem with his campaign, it was too late out of the gate. Had he announced earlier, this might be closer. I don't know that he beats Wes Allen outright, but I do think the margins are going to be a little disappointing for Wall tomorrow.
You know, I think Wes Allen, when you're looking at that 2 weeks back, Wes Allen was in a very good position. And I think there was one point a couple weeks back to where it looked very possible that Wes Allen could even get to 50% tomorrow night. Some of John Wall's attacks on or some of the attacks ran on Wes Allen so far have been successful. Looks like Wes Allen has leveled off, and he hasn't grown any over the past couple weeks. I actually think that John Wall has seen more growth in his numbers over the past 2 weeks than what Wes Allen has. So I'm going to say Wes Allen, he's going to come in low 40s, somewhere around 40 to 43%. And I think John Wall, in a great situation for John Wall, I think he would be at 35, but I think he's going to be closer to like 32%. You're going to have Rick Pate, Nicole Wadsworth, somewhere around 10%. I'd say Rick Pate's going to be third, Nicole a point or two behind Rick Pate, around 8%. And then you're going to see the others, you know, at just 1% and 2% in this election. But if I was John Wall, considering the way Wes Allen just held this lead for so long, I would be okay with tomorrow night ending up in a 42 to 33 situation or something along those lines.
AG, Catherine Robertson, Mitchell makes a runoff still, you think?
You know, that's going to be a very interesting one to watch. Over the past 2 months, I've been tracking. We've polled hundreds of thousands of people. I've got 12,000 different voters. We've been tracking their votes over time. Catherine, about 2 weeks ago, she shot up to the high 40s. It was looking like 50% was a real possibility on May 19th. But, you know, her numbers have kind of leveled off. Jay Mitchell changed up some of his strategy on TV, everything. You know, Catherine, she's still definitely in first place, but she's dropped down to around 40%. Now, the interesting thing is going to be who is in second. Jay Mitchell has consistently, when it started, Jay Mitchell was in first, but over the past few weeks, he's consistently been a strong second. The problem for Jay Mitchell is that right now, Pamela Casey has just started her TV, cycle. Jay Mitchell is attacking Catherine Robertson. The problem I'm seeing is that we're seeing a lot of the people that are leaving Catherine. There's more of those people going to Pamela than to Jay. So is Jay going to peel off enough of Catherine's support to go to Pamela? What if Pamela passes Jay tomorrow night? That's a possibility. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Jay Mitchell's going to be second, but I do think there is a real possibility that Pamela comes in second place tomorrow night. That's not my prediction, but it is possible if Pamela can run up enough numbers in the Blount County area in North Alabama, where she currently serves as district attorney.
That's kind of fascinating because when he started really campaigning, it almost backfired on him.
It did. You know, Jay Mitchell was a comfortable first. And every poll ran a couple months back. He was first place pretty much everywhere you looked at. But the problem is then he started campaigning. And that's when everybody, some of the TV commercials just have not went in his favor. He saw a lot of that backfire on him. And I think a lot of the support that he lost over the last 2 months has been due to his own TV commercials. So I think in a runoff situation, if you're Catherine, the ideal situation is to be there with Pamela Casey. I just don't see any scenario for Pamela to win the runoff. But I do believe if Jay gets in the runoff, I'm not going to say he's going to win, but I mean, he's going to be able to raise the money and make it a competitive race.
The real quick, the other two ad commissioner, you still are on the it's Jack Williams, Corey Hill runoff, Christina Warner McInnes.
I do. That is my prediction, but I'll tell you that race is one that really, I mean, it's so close between the three of them. I mean, literally any combination could happen come tomorrow night. I've actually, over the past week, we've seen a little bit of growth in Christina's numbers. I'm not sure if I'm comfortable to say that I think she'll be in the top two. It is very possible, though. I mean, you have three candidates that are literally, you know, polling within just a couple points of each other. Any combination is possible tomorrow night. But I would say I feel pretty strongly about Jack Williams being one of the two in the runoff. But, I mean, any combination is possible.
Then an auditor, Derek Chen's up on air on TV. Sorrell's the incumbent. Sorrell's, you know, I guess he's throwing some things here at the last minute. Where are you on that?
Derek Chen waited too long for his attacks. They knocked a couple points off of Andrew Sorrell, but it's just not enough. I think Sorrell is going to be 60% plus tomorrow night. He had a good response to to the ads that Chen has ran here over the past week. And like I said, again, I think Chen waited a little bit too long in the election cycle. And when he started his attack, voters were already bombarded with political ads everywhere you looked at. They just it knocked a few points off of him, but it's just not nearly enough for him to win the auditor's seat. Andrew Sorrell is going to be around 60% tomorrow night.
Lastly, what do you see legislative races? There's a handful of competitive ones. Any feeling on like Andrew Jones or Rick Reed,
Andrew Jones,
Pettis, any of those guys, Mo?
So there's a lot of interesting races going on. I don't see Mo Brooks winning tomorrow night. I think Lomax is going to have that one.
Wow.
And Andrew Jones race. What is going to be interesting there is I think not only is he going to lose, I think he's going to lose bad. I think that Amy Jones-Minton is going to be around 58% to 60% tomorrow, unless the numbers have shifted since I last seen them 3 or 4 days back. But what's going to be really interesting in that Senate race is that they have an independent candidate running that was removed from the ticket, Jesse Battles. And I'll tell you, in the polling I've seen for the general election, Jesse Battles is very strong. So no matter whether it's Andrew Jones or Amy Minton, they have a lot that it's not over tomorrow. Not that either candidate is going to have their hands full come this November.
And the others, you have any? How many incumbents are going down? Just what do you think?
There's several. I think Greg Barnes is going to be going down tomorrow. Philip Pettis, I believe he's going down. Andrew Jones. I think Greg Allbritton is going to edge out Terry Waters just a hair tomorrow. It's going to be a close race, but I think he's going to edge him out. I believe that in Birmingham, Dan Roberts, I see him losing tomorrow. Trying to think of if there's any others that
Jim Carnes. Like I said, I don't know. There's a lot to watch here, but it doesn't feel like an anti-incumbency cycle. I mean, it feels like the mayoral cycle last year, where you saw just a pocket or two. It's all very, very local.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely going to be some incumbents go down tomorrow night. But I mean, overall, I agree with you. But you're definitely going to see a few incumbents lose their seat tomorrow. I think in the Carnes race, I don't have any numbers on that, so I couldn't give you an educated response. But I know in my district, I live in Senate District 4, Senator Garland Gudger is going to be safe tomorrow. He will be reelected. He's facing J.R. Bowling, and his seat is safe. So, I mean, you definitely have several that's safe tomorrow night, but we have a few to watch where you're going to see some incumbents unseated.
Sam, we always appreciate your time, and we'll do a recap sometime in the coming days. Thanks for copping on.
Yes, sir.
Sam Roberts, ladies and gentlemen, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Plenty of snow.
Cotton in the ditch. We all picked the cotton, but we never got rich. Daddy was a veteran, a Southern Democrat. They ought to get a rich man to vote like that. Sing it.
Song, song of the South. Sweet potato pie and I shut my mouth. Gone, gone with the wind. There ain't nobody looking back again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us. On this Monday morning, we'll talk to Pam Casey for a few minutes here in the next segment, so make sure you stick around for that. Let's see here. Tim, Jeff, I'm looking forward to having two coaches in Alabama government on Wednesday. Let's see here. I named Texter. I think most people listening to your show will vote. That's from Mugshot. I think people listen to the show because it's they're in their car. Spoken word. Don't really need to hear Lady Gaga, Taylor Swift, Morgan Wallen. And then NPR is boring. Kind of keeping up with current affairs. It's local talk radio. That's not a given, but I think most is probably accurate. There are probably some of you out there who are kind of intrigued by it, but you're not invested in it, and you're going to... You got better things to do. Death of the Family on May 6th. We'll study it further today and tomorrow before voting. What is it gonna what is it gonna take to win your vote over on Name Texter? Let me know. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
For your time, you work a 40-hour week for a living. Just to send it on down the line. This is for the one who drives the big rig.